Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome everyone. To start off by saying, please go to Wiser Living, that's WEISERLiving.com, and on that initial page, you will see on the right-hand side where you can get a Skype consultation. You can click on the Wiser Living TV link and watch all of the YouTube videos we've uploaded. By subscribing, you'll not only get access to these educational videos, but you'll also be informed when a new video is uploaded. You can also get access to our archived radio programs at Wiser Living Radio, and you can check it out, or at least check out the menu bar that lists all of the articles, the programs, services, Wiser Living seminars, recipes, and products. So do take a look at that at your earliest convenience. Once again, check out wiserliving.com. Sign up there. You can subscribe at Wiser Living TV. You can follow us on at Wiser Living Radio. Like us at facebook.com/Wiser Living. And you can also connect with us at Google Plus, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Pinterest. Wow. Wow. This is Dr. Bud Wiser, and I am coming to you directly from the Wiser Living headquarters. And I would like to welcome each and every one of you who have taken the time out to tune into this broadcast today. Your time is valuable, and I am truly grateful for your participation. So over the next 28 minutes and a few seconds, I want to really add to your wellness experience, or I should say our wellness experience. I did a lot of research on this topic, and my goodness, to try to squeeze everything in a 30-minute segment is a challenge, but we're going to make a gallant attempt at it. I want to first start off by mentioning the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, or DSHEA. That act of 1994, it actually created the definition of supplements. The act laid a foundation for a new class of foods, and this may seem obvious, but dietary supplements must be ingested through the mouth. I mean, it's whether it's as a pill, a tablet, a capsule, a soft gel, a chewy gummy, chewable tablet, a melt-away, a powder, a drink, or a food bar. And the kinds of ingredients included can really cover a wide range. So let's take a look at the main types of nutrients in supplement products which are regulated by the law. You know, vitamins are organic compounds that the body needs for normal growth and for metabolism. And these are all of the letter vitamins, like a vitamin A, vitamin D, vitamin E, vitamin K. You know, and next are the minerals. You know, minerals are inorganic elements such as calcium and magnesium that the body needs for normal health. You know, your body can't make these, so you need to get them through your diet. Then there are the botanicals that a lot of people like, and, you know, they go on the internet searching for, and they get magazines in their, you know, flyers in the mailbox. And these include ingredients from plant leaves, flowers, roots, seeds, or bark. And then there are the amino acids. Most of you have heard of amino acids. Amino acids are the building blocks of all of the proteins. There are hundreds of amino acids of these proteins. And when you look at these amino acids, there are only 20 that are in the human body. And of those 20, 8 of those amino acids cannot be manufactured by your cells, making them essential, that word essential, because you must get them through your diet. And there's the challenge, which we'll address a little later. You know, enzymes. When you think of enzymes, think of them as catalysts, like a key in a lock that you need to unlock specific chemical reactions in the body, including digestive functions and cellular metabolism, things like that. And another ingredient in supplement products are called organ tissues and glandulars. Now, these support the body's systems, like cardiovascular system, nervous system, and also such as metabolism and the creation of energy, which are directed by the endocrine or hormonal system. So these things start to overlap you know, the needs and wants and desires of your body. And the last category are the metabolites. These are constituents and a common word that most of you know is extracts. this is a kind of a catch-all category for supplements synthesized or produced from whole ingredients. This category would include omega-3s, botanical extracts, and metabolites, or like something your body produces during normal metabolism, but in a supplement form, which can help boost normal function. So you see, these ingredients here are, you know, you see these ingredients at least in sports nutrition. You see it, you know, a lot of supplements like such as creatine, you know, creatine monohydrate, which is a metabolite of organic acid creatine, which is in raw fish. It's in meat, by the way, that's used to supply energy to your body's cells, especially to the muscles. So how long do these supplements actually stay in your system? Well, nutraceuticals, which are food supplements that contain health-giving additives, will differ significantly at time in the amount of time the active ingredient actually remains in your body. For instance, water-soluble nutrients such as vitamin C generally will be metabolized and then leave the body the same day or even within a few hours after you ingest it. On the other hand, fat-soluble nutrients such as vitamin A or vitamin E or vitamin D can be stored in the liver for weeks and distributed to the body tissues as needed. Okay, so how long should you take a supplement before deciding if it works or not? And the answer to this question depends on two things. It depends on the supplement, and it depends on the expected outcome. For example, joint health ingredients like glucosamine and chondroitin. You know, a lot of people use these especially for joint pain, especially knees and wrists and elbows and things like that. It usually takes 6 to 8 weeks before they start to work. Melatonin, on the other hand, generally starts to work within the first week or even the first day. I mean, most of people that are ingesting melatonin, it's an endorphin. It's a happy substance. They want it to work as soon as possible. Then there are a class of saccharides or necessary sugars that you should ingest daily because these healthy sugars allow the body to communicate five basic needs like see me, defend me, regulate me, feed me, cleanse me. And if these sugars like mannose and xylose and fucose, have you heard of those sugars? Galactose, glucose, N-acetylglucosamine, N-acetylgalactosamine, and N-acetylneuronic acid. If they're not supplied in the diet and your body fails to make them properly, cellular communication will be diminished and dysfunction can occur. In other words, the body has its own language. It's not English, it's not French. The alphabet is a sugar. And so we see this because a lot of products that you buy, especially in processed foods, they have sugars in it, but it's not the sugar that your body can actually utilize to give you wellness. So this shows that some supplements, like those sugars and like vitamins and minerals, should be taken every day. So what is the difference between the RDA or the recommended daily allowance, the DRI or the dietary reference intake, and the DV or the daily value for vitamins and minerals? Because now that you know that you should take them, well, how do we regulate how much to take? Because you see a lot of different numbers and milligrams, micrograms, and things like this, and percentages. You know, what does it all mean? Well, DRI is the dietary, let me start with RDA. The RDA is a recommended daily allowance, and then that DRI, dietary reference intake, and DV, or the daily value, they're all updated versions of the RDA. So they're all the same. So that means, yes, they are all the same. One more time, they're all the same. For example, most healthy people need about 90 milligrams per day of vitamin C, or 60 milligrams if the vitamin C is in a whole food form. So you need less if it's in a whole food form. So, and this, you need that much in order not to get scurvy. So the RDA, or the daily reference intake, or DRI, or the daily value of DV represents the minimum needed on a daily basis, the minimum. Another question we hear a lot is, can supplements interact with prescribed medications? And the answer is a resounding yes. Some of them can. Not all of them, but some of them can. So St. John's wort is the most common example used out there. And this popular herb is often taken for a mild depression. But it can also increase the metabolism of oral contraceptive estrogen. It can prolong narcotic-induced sleep time. It can change the effects of some antihypertensive or blood pressure drugs. It can decrease the effects of antidepressants like Xanax, or like a Cymbalta, or Zoloft, or Trazodone, because I see people on a daily basis that are on these types of medication, which means it's vital that you discuss your use of herbs like St. John's wort with your physician, if he or she is prescribing you pharmaceuticals of any kind. So you must be in having an interaction there with them, because if they don't know, then you could be taking a medication that the herb that you went on the internet to find out about could adversely affect the outcome that you're seeking. So what am I saying here? Don't try to diagnose yourself. Go to someone who's trained at diagnosing, and that would be a doctor. So most other medicinal herbs, including echinacea, garlic, ginkgo, ginseng, golden seal, and milk thistle, they don't regularly interfere with prescribed medication. And as a matter of fact, back in 2012, German researchers concluded that these six botanicals produce no adverse effects when interacting with pharmaceuticals. So there's a two sides of this ledger. You know, foods can interact with prescribed medications as well. And I think the most notorious example of this is grapefruit juice, which inhibits the liver detoxification of certain drugs in the intestines and, to a lesser extent, in the liver, making the drug more powerful. So you have to be careful when you're ingesting, you go on the internet and you find that, if I take this food in a concentrated form, juice it or what have you, it could interact with the medications that you're taking. So make sure you are not trying to do this on your own. Get someone who has an expertise, whether that's a nutritionist, dietitian, doctor, what have you. Let them know what's happening so you don't run across these issues. Another problem, however, is that prescribed drugs can interfere or deplete the body of essential nutrients, and I've seen this time and time again. A common example is statin medications, which are taken to lower cholesterol level. Some research suggests that statins deplete the body of coenzyme Q10. Now, this is important because symptoms of coenzyme Q10, it's not like you're going to have all of them, but you could have one or more of these symptoms. If you have this deficiency of coenzyme Q10, it includes, or some of the deficiencies would include, a congestive heart failure, high blood pressure, angina, mitral valve prolapse, stroke, cardiac arrhythmias, cardiomyopathy, and something that we don't, the names that I just mentioned, cardiomyopathy, these are like, they're kind of like, they're major issues. But a lot of times you don't think of that when you have a deficiency of coenzyme Q10, you can have lack of energy, gingivitis, and generalized weakening of the immune system. And I think that's the most important. So for those taking cholesterol-lowering meds, you need to check your CoQ10 levels, or may benefit from ingesting some CoQ10. So, look into that. And this leads me to another question, I think important question that's I was thinking about as I was preparing for this. And the question is, are you getting enough vitamins? Nutrient deficiencies are very often just overlooked. I mean, in many cases, nobody even thinks about it. And in some cases, you may be getting enough vitamins and minerals to prevent obvious signs of deficiency, but not enough to support optimal health or I like to say wellness, which is a dynamic process. You know, the 2015 Dietary Guidelines Advisory Committee, they reported that Americans underconsume, let me say that again, they underconsume several nutrients, including vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E, and folate, and magnesium. That's a lot, along with other nutrients in certain population groups. And when they do supplement, it's with synthetic vitamins and ground-up rocks as minerals, which your body can't really utilize. You know, our bodies weren't designed to break down ground-up rocks or vitamins manufactured from coal tar or petroleum, which 95% of the vitamins that are sold over-the-counter are. Nutrient deficiency, that risk is greater in people who have who are following restrictive diets or suffering from, you know, certain health conditions or taking medications again. So let me give you a few examples of this. If you have let's say you have low back pain, that's symmetrical, which means that it's on the left and right side. And with this, a lot of times, you know, you go get it checked out, and they say, well, you have a muscle spasm. Depending on who you go to, you may get a chiropractic adjustment. You may get some physical therapy. You may get heat, electrical stim, or ultrasound. You may get a prescription for a muscle relaxant. So, but in saying that, you could have also, there's a possibility that you may have a deficiency of vitamin D. And so eating wild-caught salmon, eggs from pasture-raised chickens, and mushrooms could help in this instance. So, or another thing is let's say you have swollen gums and are bleeding gums. A lot of people brush their teeth and their gums bleed a little bit. That could be a possible vitamin C deficiency. You could eat red peppers, citrus fruits, broccoli, tomatoes, kiwi fruit. These are foods that can consume to get vitamin C support. And also you could do supplementation, but I'm not going to mention that because I want to cover it a little later. But what about goiter, you know, which is swelling around the neck or what they call hypothyroidism? Now, there can be a possible iodine deficiency here. Processed foods can contribute to this problem. Eating seaweed, saltwater fish, eggs, dairy, dairy products, and drinking Soleil can support the lack of iodine in the body. And so here's instances where you're having symptoms that could be construed as coming from somewhere else or being caused by some other issue, but there's a vitamin deficiency that is seen more often than not. What about angina? Angina is like a severe chest pain or bone loss. There's a possibility of vitamin K deficiency, or K2 deficiency. Vitamin K2 directs calcium to the bone, keeping them strong and it prevents calcium from accumulating in the arteries, which promote flexibility. So usually you can get an omega-3 with a vitamin D product that has K1 and K2 in it. So you want to be, when you're looking at the, you know, vitamins and minerals and trace minerals and things like that or nutritional products, start reading the labels and looking for specifics. So if you get an omega-3 with D, there should be some K1, K2 in it. You know, some foods you can eat to support K1 and K2 are cheese. You know, the hard cheeses, natto, which is fermented soy, not just soy, but fermented soy, butter from grass-fed cows, and liver, if you like that. If you have let's say you have numbness and tingling. I saw an individual yesterday that had this issue, and he had it in his hand. And so that can be a sign of vitamin B12 deficiency. The most at risk for vitamin B12 deficiency are vegans, older adults, weight loss surgery patients, antacid users, and those taking diabetic drugs like metformin. Now, eating fish, beets, or beef, yogurt, cheese, tempeh, nutritional yeast supports healthy B12 levels. Muscle twitches or muscle spasms is a possible magnesium deficiency. And a majority of Americans, they don't get enough of these minerals. Not having enough magnesium in your body can increase the risk of heart disease, diabetes, osteoporosis, and even migraine headaches. Nuts, seeds, legumes, spinach, oats, and barley support good magnesium levels. Poor appetite is a possible zinc deficiency. You know, this deficiency is more likely to be seen in the elderly. You know, it contributes to changes in aging, such as improved impaired immunity and increased inflammation, which can lead to a lot of other things. You know, eating turkey breast, beef again, oysters, pumpkin seeds, sprouted watermelon seeds, which we actually spot them ourselves, and cashews can help support normal zinc levels. Now, poor immunity or muscle weakness could be a deficiency of vitamin E. Now, overt deficiency is uncommon, but more than 90% of Americans don't meet the dietary recommendations, the RDA of vitamin E intake, above the RDA, which may help improve immune function, especially in the elderly. Now, consuming nut oils like almond oil, hazelnut oil, and sunflower seeds support healthy vitamin E levels, along with supplementation. Now, some symptoms of nutrient deficiency are vague, and it's just difficult to pin on a specific vitamin or mineral. You know, lab tests can help your healthcare professional to discover the culprit. Standard blood tests can be ordered by any physician to identify several, but not all nutrient deficiencies such as iron, folate, B12, vitamin C, D, and vitamin E. A urine test can measure nutrient levels or breakdown products or what you call metabolites of some nutrients in the urine to evaluate nutrients status. For instance, the doctor can assess iodine status with a 24-hour urine test. So you need to see your doctor to get tested and evaluated if you don't have dynamic optimal health. Now, nutritional supplementation or nutritional supplements have gotten a bad rap lately. But you can't believe everything you hear. So I'd like to give you a few tips on how you can, you know, things that you can use to ensure that every bottle you buy is safe and effective. First of all, don't believe that supplements aren't regulated. There are three major, at least in the U.S., laws that help ensure the safety of supplements. I mentioned one, the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act, that gives the FDA the ability to regulate dietary supplements the same way it does food. And that means the FDA can actually pull any supplement from the market that they consider unsafe. But all of the laws and testing still can't ensure that every supplement on the market is potent and pure, because some labs, it's unfortunate, will fudge the numbers if their customers pay them enough to pay them enough. And some companies simply don't test their ingredients. They don't test it at all. They're just banking on the fact that the FDA is understaffed, which it is, and won't conduct an audit on them. So how do you know if your favorite supplement is made by a company that plays by the rules? Or how can you trust a supplement? There are a couple of ways to do this, a few ways. Number one, don't believe claims that sound too good to be true. I mean, you've heard this in a lot of different arenas, but especially here. Don't believe claims that sound too good to be true. And unlike drugs, supplements are designed to act slowly. They're designed to act gradually. So if a product promises quick results, there's a red flag that it could include drugs or even synthetic stimulants. That's number one. Number two, watch out for what I call the tainted trio. The tainted trio. There are three categories of supplements that tend to be adulterated more than any other type, and that's weight loss, bodybuilding, and sexual enhancement. And you should be extra vigilant when buying these products. And then I'll give you some ways to make that determination. Number three, spend a little, get a little. You know, price, it doesn't always determine quality, but quality costs money. If a supplement is more expensive, that may mean the company spent extra on testing and quality control. And generic store label brands, you know, they cost less, but those brands rely on contract manufacturers, meaning that they have little control over the sourcing, processing, and testing. So they have to rely on who they're getting it from. Number four is look for third-party certifications. And there are four main independent agencies that check GMPs or good manufacturing practices, and they certify that supplements are safe and effective. And that's the NSF, the NPA, UL, and USP. But if a product doesn't have one of these seals, that doesn't mean it's not, you know, of high quality. The manufacturer may simply be confident enough in its testing procedures that doesn't, you know, where they don't feel the need to spend a lot of money for a second opinion. First, agree that if you want ultimate assurance, and you should, look for one of these seals, NSF, NPA, which is Certified Nutritional Products Association, UL, Underwriters Lab, and USP. Number five, check out the FDA warnings on certain supplements. You go to FDA.gov to check that out. Number six, look for branded ingredients like, you know, the trademark or the registered trademark on the label, which basically means that product is branded and probably they've done they have some research behind it. And a good rule of thumb is if a company is willing to invest in clinical research, especially if they have their own lab, it probably also invests in good raw materials. That's a rule of thumb. Number seven, break out the medical dictionary. You know, supplement labels can be full of those big unpronounceable words, and some are simply forms of vitamins such as, you know, tocopherol for vitamin E, but others can be synthetic stimulants or unnecessary fillers and synthetic versions. You know, a quick internet search can tell you the difference between the two. And finally, you know, there are eight systems in your body that require certain raw materials from nature, you know, many of which are largely deficient from our modern diet. And hence, that's why we have to have calls like this, because there was a time when all of these nutrients were in the food. All you had to do was eat the food. You know, and giving the body what it needs to promote healthy cellular structure and healthy function is critical. It's critical to maintain wellness, because cells are the building blocks of the human body. You know, healthy cells equal healthy organs, equal healthy systems like the gastrointestinal system, equal the healthy body. And here's that foundation for wellness. Number one is communication, and that's utilizing plant polysaccharides like glucose, galactose, mannose, xylose, fucose, N-acetylglucosamine, N-acetylgalactosamine, N-acetylneuraminic acid. You can get that in powder form. You can get it in a capsule form from certain specific companies. Number two, matter of fact, only one company has the whole complex. Number two, antioxidant protection. You know, you need that to defend the body and stop premature aging. So you have to have a good antioxidant. Number three is hormonal balance from plant sterols, that's sterols, and amino acids. That's a plus. Number four is nourishment. You know, supplementation of plant and phytomatrix vitamins and minerals and trace elements is highly, highly recommended. Number five, proper digestion supply with gastrointestinal enzymes and gastrointestinal probiotics to support the stomach and intestinal tract. Hydration, you gotta drink good filtered water. Body fitness, exercise keeps everything working the way it was designed. And finally, harmony. You must utilize this foundation to attain harmony in your body. I know it's a lot of information today. It's not quickly, but let your food be your medicine, and let your medicine be your food. Think on that. This is Dr. Budweiser. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next time.